Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, May 31st, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Oil surges after EU leaders agree to pursue a partial ban on Russian crude.
The oil gain and hawkish comments from the Fed have Treasury yields on the rise.
And President Biden holds a rare meeting with Fed Chair Jay Powell at the Oval Office today.
People in Uvalde, Texas, prepare to bury the dead from last week's shootings. Plus, the Diocese of Brooklyn calls it a brazen crime of disrespect and hate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers beat the Hurricanes in Game 7. They're moving on to the East Finals. Easy win for the Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon Pershing's Insight Conference, back in person June 15th through the 17th at the Gaylord Resort in Grapevine, Texas. Don't miss it. Register now at insight.bnymellon.com.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 28 points, Dow futures down 221, and NASDAQ futures down 43. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury down 22/32, yield 2.81%. The yield on the two-year, 2.53%. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $4.30 at $18.53 an ounce, and the euro 1.0722 against the dollar. Nathan.
And Karen, oil is on the rise this morning. It's up 3.5% for West Texas Intermediate after European Union leaders agreed to seek a ban on imports of most Russian oil. Let's get the details of Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in our London bureau. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Finally, a deal on Russian oil. European Union leaders agree sanctions blocking the purchase of crude oil and petroleum products from Russia delivered by sea. But there is a temporary exemption for pipeline deliveries to satisfy Hungary, which have been holding up discussions. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen welcomed the agreement.
Council should now be able to finalise a ban on almost 90% of all Russian oil imports by the end of the year.
European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen made the comments at a briefing in Brussels. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Well, back here in the U.S., the fallout from last week's school shooting continues to reverberate across the country. There's another push for legislation on guns, but President Biden says he is limited on what he can do. He traveled to Uvalde, Texas for an emotional visit this weekend. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
I can't outlaw a weapon. I can't change a background check. President Biden explaining that there is only so much he can do to stop mass shootings in the U.S. Biden and First Lady Jill Biden visited the Texas elementary school where a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers. That shooting has increased demands on Congress to do something about gun regulation, and talks in the Senate now center on red flag laws. They allow police or family members to ask a court to temporarily remove the right to own firearms from someone who may be at risk. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thanks. On Wall Street today, inflation continues to be a major focus for markets. Treasury yields are climbing as the Federal Reserve shows no sign of slowing its hawkish stance. Fed Governor Christopher Waller says he wants to keep raising interest rates in half percentage point steps until inflation is under control.
I support tightening policy by another 50 basis points for several meetings. In particular, I am not taking 50 basis point hikes. Off the table until I see inflation coming down closer to our 2% target.
Fed Governor Christopher Waller spoke at an event hosted by the Institute for Monetary and Financial Stability.
Well, Nathan, inflation will be a key topic of discussion when President Biden holds a rare meeting today with the chair of the Federal Reserve. And we get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
It'll be the first meeting between the two since November, when the president nominated Jay Powell for a second four-year term. In the intervening period, soaring inflation has become a crippling problem. In an opinion piece published late Monday in the Wall Street Journal, the president said he would support the Fed in its effort to combat high inflation by reducing demand. The president said the fight was likely to slow the rate of job growth from a monthly pace of 500,000 jobs to around 150,000. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Doug, thanks. The labor market will be front and center as well this week when we get the May jobs report on Friday. Let's get a preview of that from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Economists say payroll growth probably exceeded 300,000 in May. So far this year, the economy has added more than 2 million jobs. With labor shortages at record levels, a slowdown could imply a shortage of qualified workers rather than sudden weakness. Job cuts have been running at half-century lows. Also on this week's U.S. data calendar, ISM factory data, the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index, and the Federal Reserve's Beige Book Economic Survey. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Well, we're also getting key inflation data out of Europe showing Eurozone inflation accelerated to a fresh all-time high. Consumer prices jumped 8.1% from a year earlier in May, exceeding the 7.8% median estimate in a Bloomberg survey. The acceleration was driven by food and energy after Russia's invasion of Ukraine sent commodity prices soaring.
Well, back here in the U.S., Karen, stocks are coming off their first winning week in nearly a month as we return to this holiday shortened trading week. We get more on the days ahead from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Analysts remain split on whether equities have found a bottom amid ongoing questions about the strength of corporate earnings. Alicia Levine is head of equities and capital markets advisory at Bank of New York Mellon.
Margins are going to come down, and what the market's really been grappling with the last couple of weeks is the E on the PE, the earnings component. And it's likely that earnings have to soften from here.
Among the names scheduled to report this week, Broadcom, CrowdStrike, Hormel Foods, HP Inc., Lululemon, and Salesforce.com. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, overseas this morning, shares of Unilever are up about 6%. Activist investor Nelson Peltz has been appointed as a non-executive director on the company, and his Trian Fund Management has taken a 1.5% stake in Unilever.
All right, now S&P futures are down 32 points. That's a drop of 0.8% at the moment. Dow futures down 247. NASDAQ futures are lower by 57 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 24 32nds, yield 2.82%. NYMEX crude trading at $119.03 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street, 74 degrees in Central Park. We've got an accident in Queens, westbound LIE at Woodhaven Boulevard. Details coming up in traffic first. Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Police say someone busted into the altar at a New York City church, stole a $2 million gold relic, and removed the head of a statue of an angel. The incident happened between Thursday and Saturday at St. Augustine's Roman Catholic Church in Brooklyn's Park Slope neighborhood. The church was closed for construction at the time. The church's pastor said that camera recordings from the security system were also stolen. The Diocese of Brooklyn called it a brazen crime of disrespect and hate. New York Governor Kathy Hochul spoke at the commemoration of the 20th anniversary of the formal end of recovery operations at Ground Zero. On Memorial Day, Hochul referred to those who, quote, showed up unprompted to help.
The common denominator for most is they were New Yorkers, because it's in our DNA. When we get knocked down, we fight back and we come back. And we must never, ever forget that lesson. That is the story of this hallowed ground.
Governor Hochul also says we're going to come back after this pandemic because we showed we did it 20 years ago. Funerals take place this week for the 19 children and two teachers killed last week in Uvalde, Texas. The town's mayor, Don McLaughlin, says the site of the shooting, Robb Elementary School, should be torn down. McLaughlin says, though, people in the community will get through it.
That's one of the things I love about Uvalde. This community will come together, and we will come together on this. I mean, this is something that we will never get over, but we'll get through it.
Mayor McLaughlin says he supports the construction of a mental health hospital in Uvalde that would also serve dozens of nearby counties and possibly prevent future massacres. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced an effort to ban handguns. Canada already has an assault weapons ban. In a news conference in Ottawa, Trudeau said the legislation would prohibit the purchase, sale, transfer, or import of handguns across Canada.
We have seen far too many tragedies across this country, far too many incidents of gun violence, particularly with handguns in our streets, in our communities, devastating families, devastating communities.
Trudeau also announced mandatory buybacks for assault weapons. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashow.
All right, Nathan, what a postseason the Rangers are having. It's hardly over, but already 5 wins when faced with elimination. 2 Game 7 victories, 2 series won, both when they never led the series until Game 7 in Raleigh, a Hurricanes penalty and a Ranger lead.
10 seconds to go on the Rangers power play. Rangers move back in. Kopp, right side feed. Lafreniere back pass to Fox. Goes in, shoots it, scores! Adam Fox, it's a power play goal. Rangers lead 1-0.
Sam Rosen on WEPN. Later in the first, another power play goal. Chris Kreider deflection. Kreider scored again in the third. The Rangers beat the Hurricanes 6-2. Carolina had been 7-0 at home in the postseason. The Rangers are now coming home. Game one of the East Final with two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay tomorrow night at the Garden. City Field, Washington scored 3 runs in the first inning. The Mets scored the next 12. All 12 scored over the first 4 innings. The Mets beat the Nats 13-5. Starling Marte and Nick Plummer, both with home runs and 4 RBI. Detroit Tigers called up infielder Cody Clemens from the minors. That's Rogers' son. He's expected to make his Major League debut tonight. A couple of fourth-round upsets at the French Open. The second and fourth seeds were ousted. Daniil Medvedev beaten by Marin Cilic. Straight sets. And Medvedev, as of now, not allowed to play Wimbledon, who has banned all Russians. Stefanos Tsitsipas also lost. Big match today. Quarterfinals, Rafael Nadal versus Novak Djokovic. Maryland capped an undefeated season, won the NCAA lacrosse title, beating Cornell. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures now down 27 points. Dow futures down 202. NASDAQ futures down 43 points. NYMEX crude up 3.4% at $118.95 a barrel. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and U.S. stock index futures are dropping while bonds fall as eurozone inflation accelerates to a fresh all-time high, intensifying the debate at the European Central Bank about how rapidly to raise interest rates. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 26 points. Dow futures down 202. NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 22.32. Yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil is up 3.3% of $3.78 at $118.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25%. Under $4.20 at $18.53.10 an ounce. The euro 1.0726 against the dollar. British pound 1.2601. The yen 127.90. And Bitcoin is higher, up 1.1% at $31,600. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Today will mark 1 week when 19 children and 2 teachers were gunned down in Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. The first of the funerals begins this week. The WHO's top monkeypox expert is skeptical the virus will become a global pandemic. WHO's Dr. Rosamund Lewis says anyone can be at potential risk, however, and that they're not exactly sure how it's being spread. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers are heading to the Eastern Finals after beating the Hurricanes in Game 7, 6-2. In baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 13-5. The Orioles beat the Red Sox 10-0. The Giants won, the A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's turn now to more on our top story this morning, the surge in oil after the European Union agreed to pursue a partial ban on Russian crude imports. This came at a EU Leaders Summit in Brussels, where we are joined now live by Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo. Maria, good morning. Thanks for being with us. How significant is this deal? What is the immediate impact?
Look, I think it is more significant than the surface of the agreement would lead you to believe, and that's the reaction that we're seeing in the market today when it comes to oil prices. When you look at what's in the agreement that was reached yesterday by European leaders, essentially what they say is that they will do a ban of Russian oil that is transported by sea. There are some exemptions to pipeline oil, but in reality, this is where it gets interesting. By cutting down seaborne, essentially you cut down two-thirds of imports. If the big buyers like Germany and also countries like Poland agree to wind down pipeline two, like they say they will do this year, essentially you're looking at a scenario in which potentially there could be a 90% reduction of Russian oil exports into the European Union. So I would argue this deal, even though it was delayed, we talked a lot about the and outs and the political commotion that happens with every big summit where you have to agree and get to an agreement among 27 different countries that have 27 different interests. I would say this is more significant than we were expecting just a day ago when the mood was very negative.
Well, one of the major significant holdouts here potentially could be Hungary, couldn't it? I mean, they've been pushing back pretty hard against the idea of a pipeline ban. I mean, what are the chances that we could see a pipeline ban eventually included in this agreement?
Look, I think to me, the Hungarian resistance is a little bit overplayed, if I have to be honest with you. The Hungarian resistance, it's not about the impact on the market. This is a very small fraction of the market. This was about the politics of it. The European Union, when it comes to Russia and the way they tackle Russia, they always like to do things unanimously. They don't want to show cracks in the union. For them, that unanimity and that union is very, very important. So yes, there are some concessions made to Hungary. They continue still to use this huge pipeline that comes through from Russia. Presumably, when we hear the full details, there will be some financial incentive to for them, and there's assurance that if something were to happen on the pipeline, they would get a backup. But overall, you know, frankly, this Hungarian resistance, I think by now it's a little bit overplayed and it's a little bit overdone, because what really matters is that you're looking at a full ban by sea, that's two-thirds, and if a big country like Germany says we're committing to cutting down pipelines, that has a much bigger impact on the market. Again, it goes back to my earlier point. On the best case scenario, you could see a reduction of 90% of purchases for Russia. And this is a huge thing for the Russians. You know, it's a big buyer. They're essentially, you're going to lose, and you have to find an alternative buyer who, in this market, of course, are not stupid. And they know Russian oil is tricky to manage, so they'll ask for a discount.
So while this is being phased in, Maria, what's being done to backstop energy supplies for Europe as this gets phased in?
Look, I think to me what's interesting more than what's being done, it's kind of what isn't being done going forward. To me, it was very telling when I spoke to the Belgian Prime Minister this morning and I asked him that question. You've done coal, you've done oil. Are we open now to gas? Is that the next frontier here? Remember, this is always seen as the big geopolitical weapon for Russia when it comes to the EU. And he told me quite candidly and quite frank, I don't think it's the time to go further. He told me with this oil embargo, the full implications of it, the full significance, let's just take time to digest what we've done, and then we can look into anything else. But for the time being, he told me we've kind of reached the limits on the energy sanctions. We need to take a pause.
All right, so about 30 seconds left here, Maria. What's the next step here? Is there going to be a vote on this deal? Where does it go from here?
I think tomorrow it's more the technical aspects of it and just the final print that gets done, not by the politicians, but by all of the many officials and figures that we don't see take the limelight, but they really work on the technicality. So I think tomorrow it will be about the fine print. But overall, the overall arch of this is already agreed.
All right. Thanks, as always, for staying on top of all of this as we've been watching this agreement on sanctions on Russian energy move forward in Brussels. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo joining us live from the capital of the European Union. And as we look ahead to the market open here on Wall Street, futures are pointing to losses. We have S&P futures right now down 28 points, Dow futures down 203, NASDAQ futures are lower by 49 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 24 32nds with a yield 2.82%. And just looking at oil right now, NYMEX crude up 3.3% or $3.77, trading at $118.84 on the NYMEX. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. PPAC Private Wealth Management knows that a portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com and begin your financial legacy today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. It helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Now, up first, we begin with oil, which is on the rise this morning. It is up 3.33%. The gain comes after European Union leaders agreed to seek a ban on imports of most Russian oil. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has the latest from Brussels.
When you look at the actual content, the Europeans say that on the best case scenario, if this deal is fully applied, by the end of the year, 90% of Russian oil exports coming into the European Union will essentially be shut off.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says EU leaders offered Hungary a guarantee that it'll receive replacement supplies if pipelines were disrupted. Hungary had been blocking an embargo and will continue receiving Russian oil via pipeline.
Well, in response to that jump in oil, Karen, stocks in Asia fluctuated and treasuries sold off across the curve.
Well, Nathan, here in the U.S., Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller says he wants to keep raising interest rates in half percentage point steps until inflation is under control. He also believes reducing the Fed balance sheet could curb inflation.
Although estimates are highly uncertain, using a variety of models and assumptions, the overall reduction in the balance sheet is estimated to be equivalent to a couple of 25 basis point rate hikes.
And Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller again cautioning those estimates were uncertain. He spoke at an event hosted by the Institute for Monetary and Financial Stability.
Also this morning, Karen, Eurozone inflation accelerated to a fresh all-time high. Consumer prices jumped 8.1% from a year earlier in May. That exceeded the 7.8% median estimate in a Bloomberg survey.
Well, Nathan, inflation will be a key topic of discussion when President Biden holds a rare meeting today with the chair of the Federal Reserve, fresh off a visit to Uvalde, Texas, where a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers last week. The president renewed calls for Congress to crack down on gun violence.
And turning to markets, Karen, Wall Street snapped a seven-week losing streak, but Morgan Stanley Chief Investment Officer Michael Wilson says the relief may be short-lived. Wilson wrote in a recent note that last week will prove to be another bear market rally. He believes with growth slowing, earnings estimates are too high.
And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. S&P futures down 27 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 75 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with an accident on the westbound LIE at Woodhaven Boulevard. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A brazen theft desecrated a Brooklyn church. An irreplaceable part of an altar was stolen. Police say someone broke into St. Augustine's Roman Catholic Church and apparently used a power saw to steal the 18-karat gold tabernacle. Marble angel statues flanking the tabernacle were decapitated and destroyed. Recordings from the church's security system were stolen. The Diocese of Brooklyn calling it a brazen crime of disrespect and hate. New York Governor Kathy Hochul honored the commemoration of the 20th anniversary of the formal end of recovery operations at Ground Zero. Speaking on Memorial Day, she says more names are added from 9/11 because people succumbed to the illnesses that they had no idea that they were exposed to.
For 260 days, people showed up here exposed to toxins and contaminants. So the loss of life that occurred on that day, we did not know it then.
Governor Hochul, speaking of the pandemic, says, I know we're going to come back after this, and we will come back even stronger than before because we showed we did it 20 years ago. The residents of Uvalde, Texas, will bury their dead this week. Last week, a gunman killed 19 children and two teachers, victims of a shooting rampage at the Robb Elementary School. The town's mayor, Don McLaughlin, says the school building should be razed.
It needs to be torn down. I would never expect a child to have to ever walk in those doors ever and ever again. That building needs to be gone.
Mayor McLaughlin says, though, the community is strong and they will get through it. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced an effort to ban handguns across the country. The legislation, if passed, prohibits the purchase, sale, transfer, and import of handguns in all provinces. Speaking in Ottawa, Trudeau also announced mandatory buybacks for assault weapons.
In the situations where someone chooses to keep that weapon, it needs to be permanently and irrevocably disabled by the government or by experts to make sure that it could never again be used as a firearm.
Prime Minister Trudeau. It's now a tropical storm after Hurricane Agatha made landfall in Mexico in what's expected to be the strongest May storm to hit the eastern Pacific on record. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Just about 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Rangers have certainly not made things easy on themselves. Round one with Pittsburgh down 3-1. They, of course, won 3 in a row, including game 7 in overtime. And then round two with Carolina down 2-0, and then 3-2. But another game 7 win, and this one was easier. Adam Fox scored a power play goal, and later in the first, another man advantage.
Comes up the boards to Panarin. Outside the body, outside the net. In front, score! Chris Kreider on a deflection of the Mika Zibanejad shot pass. Chris Kreider, it's a power play goal.
Sam Rosen, WEPN. Kreider would score again. Ryan Strome, Philip Hedl, Andrew Kopp all scored. Zibanejad had 3 assists. Igor Shesterkin rock solid again in goal. And the Rangers beat the Hurricanes 6-2, and they will play Tampa Bay in the East Final. Game one tomorrow at the Garden. The Mets in their history have never had this big a division lead in the month of May. They beat the Nationals in Citi Field 13-5. Pete Alonso homer, so did Starling Marte. And Nick Plummer, the hero on Sunday, he drove in 4 more. The Mets are ahead by 9.5 games in the NL East. Yankees had their first day off in 3 weeks. They'll host the ex-Met Noah Syndergaard and the Angels tonight. French Open, 4th round, Daniil Medvedev and Stefano Tsitsipas. The 2 and 4 seeds both lost. American Jess Peluga is into the women's quarterfinals. Marquee match today, Rafael Nadal versus Novak Djokovic. NCAA lacrosse final, unbeaten Maryland beat Cornell 9-7. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market as we get ready for the final trading day of a very rough month of May. We are joined this morning by Bloomberg's Laura Wright. Laura, we've got futures moving lower. What's got your eye this morning?
Well, I'm looking at crypto names this morning. Look, Bitcoin back above 30,000, showing some signs of bottoming out. And last week, we saw a decoupling between the S&P 500 and Bitcoin, although it's still unclear what quantitative tightening means for risk assets. Riot Blockchain up almost 6%, Marathon Digital 7%, Coinbase 4%, all ahead of the open.
And we're also seeing a pretty big surge in crude prices as well. And I see you're keeping an eye on Chinese ADRs. Is the commodities space having an impact on what's happening there?
It is, but the news line is really DD Global. Virus curbs easing in China. So DD Global, the ride-hailing firm, sent a message to their customers in Shanghai: areas with low COVID cases can resume. Also, Alibaba, JD.com up 4.5% and 6.7% respectively. In Shanghai, look, public transport resumes on Wednesday, and Beijing are allowing some shopping centres to reopen even now. And we had a beat on data out of China earlier this morning, both manufacturing and non-manufacturing PMI, showing that the economy of the world's second largest country is contracting at a slower pace. And that implies maybe the worst of the economic fallout is over.
How's that potentially affecting Tesla? Obviously, they've been pretty well impacted by the shutdown in Shanghai.
Can I just say, we are talking about Tesla without the Twitter deal.
It's been a while.
It's a new world that we've entered.
Right.
We learn, look, Tesla, they're keeping their factory bubble isolation system in place until June the 10th, according to people familiar. That's even as Shanghai eases the virus curbs. Now, the Shanghai plant apparently lost 40,000 units of output in March because it was shut for 3 weeks. And it's significant because the Shanghai Tesla plant is the electric vehicle maker's primary production hub, overtaking the California plant last year. But that could lead to some revolt from employees. That's what we saw from an Apple supplier last week, because they have to still live on site and test constantly.
As always, Laura Wright, thanks for being with us as we keep an eye on what's happening in the pre-market and looking at stocks as a whole as we get set for this final open of the month of May. We have futures moving lower, with S&P futures right now down 18 points, Dow futures down 136, NASDAQ futures down 19 points. So pairing some of the earlier losses we've been seeing in this session, the 10-year Treasury right now down 24 30 seconds with a yield at 2.82%. NYMEX crude trading at $118.93 a barrel. That's a gain of 3.33%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny and hot today with a high near 95 degrees. We'll be back in the low 70s tomorrow as clouds move in, giving us a chance for a shower. Could see a thunder shower late Thursday with a high near 80. Right now, 75 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 115 points. S&P's dropped 15, while NASDAQ futures are down by 6. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.82%. Gold is down 5, and oil is climbing as EU leaders agreed to pursue a partial ban on Russian crude. Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.1%, and Shanghai rose 1.2% overnight, while European markets are mostly in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, Chicago PMI, and at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence. In other news, at 1:15, Biden will hold a meeting with Fed Chair Powell, and Unilever appointed activist investor Nelson Peltz as a non-executive director. Wrapping things up, American Eagle was cut to underweight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The first of 21 funerals begins this week in Uvalde, Texas. Texas officials say Uvalde Schools Police Chief Pete Arredondo wrongly believed that they were dealing with a barricaded subject, not an active shooter. Uvalde's mayor announced Arredondo's scheduled city council swearing-in ceremony is canceled for now as the city grieves. Under his new legislation, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wants to ban all sales and transfers of handguns in Canada. He also wants guns taken away from domestic violence and stalking suspects. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers are heading to the Eastern Finals after beating the Hurricanes in Game 7, 6-2. In baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 13-5. Orioles all over the Red Sox 10-0. The Giants won, the A's lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, one of the nation's leading polytechnic universities and a top military-friendly school. Learn more at njit.edu/veterans. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. President Biden is set to meet with Fed Chair Jay Powell as soaring inflation takes a bite out of Americans' pocketbooks. Today's meeting will be the first since Biden renominated Powell to lead the central bank and comes weeks after his confirmation for a second term by the Senate. Some supply strains in the U.S. are easing 2 years after a jump in demand started emptying shelves, snarling shipping, and sowing the seeds of soaring inflation. The line of 25 cargo ships headed to Southern California's two big ports is less than a quarter of the record backup in January, and spot container rates have dropped almost 20% this year. But for every sign that a cooling economy will give supply chains room to rebalance, there's a reason for skepticism. On the East Coast, ship bottlenecks are building again. The dwell time for containers is still climbing at rail yards near Chicago and Kansas City. And for the first time since early March, the number of daily coronavirus cases in China has dropped below 100. Still, Omicron's contagiousness means that reprieve from infections and the tough COVID-zero response may only be temporary. Both Beijing and Shanghai have started to loosen restrictions on mobility. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's nearly 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden expressing futility when it comes to guns after an emotional trip to Uvalde. President to meet with Fed Chair Jay Powell later this afternoon. And former Trump aide Peter Navarro subpoenaed over January 6th. Let's get more on all these stories now. Joe Matthews back with us, our Washington correspondent, host of Bloomberg Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, interesting to hear Michael Barr point out the moves that are being made in Canada by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to freeze handgun sales and buy back assault-style weapons, powers that President Biden admittedly says he just does not have.
Well, that's true. And we're reminded frequently, even though, you know, part of being the president is taking credit for things you may not deserve and taking the blame for things you may not deserve. There's just not always an opportunity to move mountains here. And that's the case. Without Congress, the president cannot do a lot. As you might remember, a few weeks ago, he signed an executive order to help to regulate what they call ghost guns, those that are basically homemade guns without serial numbers. But as he said himself, when he got off the chopper yesterday and his way back to the White House, Nathan, he does not have the power to outlaw a weapon. He does not have the power to change rules for things like background checks. And so while talks are underway in the Senate right now, the president also said he hasn't been in touch with negotiators. If you look at his schedule from over the weekend, going to Uvalde, going to Arlington on Memorial Day, and a couple of other trips that have had him getting out and about, he's not trying to thumb the scale on this. He's allowing Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, to try to lead the charge in talks to see what might emerge, likely something around a red flag law in the days ahead.
So we have these negotiations going forward here. The president is being asked whether he's been in touch with Republicans. Yeah. Is there a sense that there is going to be some more bipartisan negotiation, more at least communication, to try to get something moved forward?
It's hard to tell. Obviously, you know, the leaders have really let the rank and file go at it here. You've got John Cornyn, the Republican from Texas on the Republican side, and the aforementioned Chris Murphy on the Democratic side. The leadership, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, both greenlit their talks. And Chuck Schumer says this doesn't go on forever as they try to focus on some common ground here. By the way, doing so remotely because lawmakers are not in town right now. So a lot of telephone meetings happening over the long holiday weekend. If nothing takes place, if there's no common ground that's found by the time lawmakers return to Washington, Chuck Schumer says they're going forward with legislation that will be written by Democrats and will likely only get voted to approve by Democrats. The idea here is knowing it will likely fail, but he wants to call people out. He wants people to be on the record, members, yes or no, on not necessarily gun controls, but gun safety legislation in advance of the midterms.
And that raises the question, Joe, I think that we get asked quite a lot when it comes to putting legislation out there that Senate leaders know is going to fail. Is this more about politics or is this about actually getting something done?
Well, I said, you know, it could be both, to be really honest with you. We have no reason to doubt the motivations of Murphy, Cornyn, and those who are in talks right now, those who are trying to to get something done following what happened in Uvalde, following what happened in Buffalo. But it comes down to simple math here as well. And this is going to be, if anything happens, it's going to be a heavy lift, Nathan. And so Chuck Schumer, realizing that his options are pretty limited as well, would like to call Republicans out for not supporting gun controls. We've seen this conversation start before. We did this after Newtown, Sandy Hook. We're doing it again now. And whether this actually turns into reform is a very big question. If the answer is no, then Schumer, yes, is going to pull the trigger on a political move to have Republicans and Democrats vote on a bill that Republicans will likely say no to.
So Democrats are confronting their limitations on the gun issue, and yeah. It looks as though President Biden may be confronting his limitations when it comes to dealing with inflation as he welcomes Fed Chair Jay Powell to the Oval Office later today.
Yeah, interesting. I'm really struck by how much attention this is getting. Granted, it's a rare meeting between the Fed chair and the president. Janet Yellen, though, will be there as well. And this is a Fed that's in constant contact with the administration. There's just a lot of questions about the independence of the Fed and whether, you know, Joe Biden's going to give Jay Powell marching orders. A lot of this has to do with optics, though. They're trying to pivot, coming off the long holiday weekend and following a week where we were, you know, obviously obsessed with this horrible story from Texas. It really took our eyes off the other stories from Ukraine to inflation. And the White House is bringing that back around now with what will be a photo opportunity in the Oval Office, likely a couple of questions answered by the few reporters who are allowed in the room at the top of the meeting. They're going to lock arms, say we're tackling this. This is the big issue, obviously, in the midterm election cycle. And the president, while striking that independent role of the Fed, they like to defer to the Fed. He also wants to look like they're working together to get something done. And that's basically the point of this meeting today.
And about our last minute here, Joe, former Trump trade advisor Peter Navarro says he's gotten a grand jury subpoena over January 6th.
Yeah, these have been interesting to see how the committee and the Department of Justice has been dealing with these. Navarro, remember, was an advisor to President Trump. And look, he's been investigated by the FBI about what happened in the build up to January 6th and following the attack on the Capitol, but specifically, and he's going to be suing, I guess, a countersuit here, but specifically the idea of finding alternate electors. This is something that they're going to be looking into. And Navarro wants to claim executive privilege. It's not clear that would hold up in court.
Lots to talk about, even on a holiday week, for Joe Matthew, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. You catch it every weekday, 5 p.m. Wall Street time. And a reminder that you can always listen to Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Right now, futures are pointing to a lower open as we get ready to close the books on May. S&P futures are down 19 points right now. Dow futures down 154. NASDAQ futures are lower by 14 points. That's a drop of about a 10% on the tech-heavy NASDAQ futures. The 10-year Treasury is down 21 32nds right now with a yield 2.81%. Yield on the 2-year 2.53. NYMEX crude continuing its surge up 3.1% or $3.57 at $118.64 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.